My favorite account of the Christmas story comes from the book of Luke. I enjoy at Christmas time reading through the book of Luke. And so just in preparation actually for Sunday morning, just was here a couple weeks ago, just getting ready for special service this next coming Sunday, I guess Christmas Sunday. And just felt led of the Lord to just spend some time going and recounting the stories that we read here, the story of the coming of the Messiah. So we started last Sunday night, we looked at the story of Zacharias. And Zacharias was a priest, was ministering in the temple in the beginning of chapter number 1. And the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, appeared unto him and gave him some fantastic news that his wife was going to bear a son. They would no longer have a reproach to their home. And that name of that boy was going to be John the Baptist. Praise the Lord. Lord. And that was if that wasn't enough blessing, he informed him, listen, he's going to be the one that was foretold in the end of the book of Malachi, 400 years before, the 400 years of silence between the end of the book of Malachi and the beginning of Matthew. It ended, the silence of God ended toward Israel when he appeared to Zacharias here and said, listen, your wife's going to conceive and bear a child, and he's going to be the one that proclaims that they're to make ready the way of the Lord. What a blessing. And Zacharias, he said, well, I mean, prove it. How am I going to know? How do I know? Well, you're talking to an angel. That's a pretty good place to start, that you know something miraculous is taking place, right? It wasn't something that happened every day, even in their day or in the Old Testament at all. It wasn't something that took place on a daily basis. It was a miraculous thing. And because of his disbelief, he was made dumb. And for 9 months, he wasn't able to tell a living soul about the greatest news that the world had ever heard, that the Messiah is coming. I mean, they were going to have to wait 400 years and 9 months. Amen? To hear this great message that God had delivered unto Zechariah. And as we continue on, that story ends in verse number 22 somewhat. That he remained speechless is the last words of verse 22. We're going to pick up in verse 23 and we're going to read through verse number 25. And we're going to pick up the story of the angel coming to Mary. And we're not going to read of someone of disbelief in this story. We're going to read of someone of great belief. We go from someone of great disbelief to someone of belief in the story of Mary. Begin in verse number 23. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration, that's be Zacharias, were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and had and hid herself for 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, to the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the sight and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She knew how things worked. With me this morning? She knew biology. Praise the Lord. 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, look at verse number 37, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Moses arose in those days and went unto the hill country with haste unto the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me? And whence is this to me that the mother of the Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. I want to preach this to you this morning, according to thy word. Mary acted in accordance to the word of God. And I'm telling you today, we are called to do no less. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the sermon this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the opportunity we have to hold it in our hands. Lord, I thank you that we are not blind nor ignorant today of the truth of it. And God, I thank you for you obligating yourself to get the word of God, get the message of your son, Jesus Christ, to every man who seeks the truth. And Lord, I pray that you just would help us to declare it in such a way that you would be glorified today. We thank you for the news of two young children this morning downstairs receiving Christ as their personal Savior. And Lord, we thank you for that the power of the gospel today. Lord, we proclaim it as for what it is, and Lord, would we be willing to share with all how they might be able to receive it from you. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness to us today. Would you bless our service time? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, here we are. We are fast forwarding 6 months from the time where Zacharias was in the temple and was in disbelief of what the message of God was to him. He was not willing to accept that which the angel Gabriel had delivered unto him. And so therefore, he even in this time when Mary came into the house was in disbelief and was unbelieving, was suffering the consequences rather of the disbelief. By 6 months, I think he was very convinced of what the angel had told him. Amen. Praise the Lord. There was probably some great signs of this coming to pass. And so this story, fast forward 6 months, Elizabeth and Zacharias, his wife, they were with child. The angel Gabriel is now dispatched to go and to bring the message of God, as it says, directly to the city of Nazareth. This city that is called the city where Mary dwelled. This was her hometown where she went. It's interesting when you look at the prophecy of the city of Nazareth. You do not find the city of Nazareth in the Old Testament as far as being named, but it's interesting in Isaiah in chapter 11 and verse number 1. This is kind of a rabbit trail, but somebody asked me a question about this this week, so I thought I'd go on. In Isaiah in chapter 11 and verse number 1, it talks about the root of David being planted again in Israel. That's an understanding of the Assyrians allowing people to come back to the land of Israel, to the Galilee region of Israel. And there was a city of Nazareth, they say, was started when those people came back. It was established there. And it's interesting that as Gabriel talks to Mary, he espouses that in verse number 22, a virgin espoused to be a man whose espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So we understand the lineage was very important. The city of David was a prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah 11 in chapter number 1. That's where Nazareth becomes important. So that's kind of off track, but it is important to understand that it is prophesied in the Old Testament that that would be a city to where the root of David would once again spring from through Jesus Christ. But Galilee was part of that northern kingdom of the Old Testament, and it was a city of Nazareth in Galilee. It was kind of a lowly city. In fact, Matthew in chapter 4 and verse 15 calls it a city of the Gentiles. It would have been referenced as a city of the Gentiles. Why it wasn't in Samaria? It was established after the Gentiles of Assyria sent Israelites back to the land of Israel to repopulate that, and it was really corrupted. But it was called the city of the Gentiles. John chapter 1 and verse number 46, the question is asked, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That it was not a very well-revered city of the time and of the region. And you can get on and study the history of that. It just suffices to say that it wasn't from the right side of the tracks, so to speak. Nazareth wasn't revered as the city of kings. It wasn't revered as a city of great pomp and of circumstance. It wasn't revered by anybody as a great place to be from. Amen. Just like when I tell people, where are you from? I'll say, well, I'm from Harper, Kansas. They go, where? Well, you go to Wichita. And still some people go, where? You know, but I'll tell people, man, Kansas is a great place to be from. You know, I mean, it's how I'll tell people about Kansas. It's a great place to be from. Sometimes the wind blows this way and sometimes the wind blows that way, but the wind always blows, and it's a great place to be from. And God came to this city that was despised of men, and this place that was really not that great of place and not that spectacular of place, but God was about to do something spectacular there. I mean, God was going to do something amazing there. And the reality is this, that until God shows up, nothing really is that spectacular. Amen. I mean, you could just pick about any city and we go, oh man, what's the amazing thing about that little town in Israel? Well, nothing was amazing there, except God was going to grow the root of David from out of there. And from Joseph, and God was going to use Mary and Joseph as tools that he might bring about the amazing gift of his son, Jesus Christ. And they were part of the plan of God. And so here we see Mary, a virgin girl, as she is visited by the angel of the Lord. And I want to just take a quick moment, talk about Mary. Sometimes people go to extremes when they talk about Mary. You'll have some that, I mean, they pray to Mary, they worship Mary as if she is deity, that she is on an equal page with God and Christ, and you'll have that extreme, and then you'll have some that just want to totally get away from that, so they'll dismiss the role of her as a young virgin lady in this story, and the fact of what God did in her life. And so I just want to address her for just a moment. She was, and there are some great things to praise about Mary. Number one, she was a virgin. She was a virgin. She was moral. She was not in this predicament. She was not in this situation because of her promiscuity or because of her immorality. No, she was chosen for her morality because she was in that state. In our society, we understand that's not something that's really promoted and it's kind of scoffed at and laughed at. People can get to an adult age and be virgins, and young men and young women can walk up onto an altar and get married and have their first kiss and be virgins. I'm telling you, that's something that's scoffed at, but I, at the same time, it is something that would very much be desired by Almighty God. It is very much something to be desired by the God of heaven, that people would possess their vessels and they would keep themselves clean and they would keep themselves pure and that they would abstain from fornication. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you would abstain from fornication, Paul tells us in Thessalonians. It's something that God would desire for all of our young people. I would say this to our young ladies, it's something that you should aspire to, that you would have a moral sense about you, not a moral arrogance about you, not a pride thing, but that you desire to keep yourself pure Before God. And young men, if that's something we would say would be admirable of our ladies, you ought to offer them the same vessel. Amen. It should be that you would offer them the same pure moral vessel that you would expect of our ladies. We shouldn't hold our young ladies to a higher standard than we'd hold our young men. But I'm telling you, the morality of this young lady should be something that should be applauded. It should be something that is encouraged. It should be something that we wouldn't stop and shake our heads about and go, well, I mean, how are they going to know unless they experiment with life and what are they going to do? Listen to me. Almighty God, if we'll abstain from sin, has a great, has an amazing way to make our lives to make our lives to be very special if we'll allow them to do so. Praise the Lord. I don't have any questions or wonders about, man, what's it like and what's other people like. Man, I'm thrilled with what God's allowed me to have. I'm still thrilled about what God allows me to have. And I don't have a whole bunch of questions looming out there because of experimentation. And I don't have to worry, wake up tomorrow and wonder if some disease is going to awaken my body and if some disease is going to come and cripple my life. I'm telling you, there is a blessing in walking after the ordinances of God and being obedient to the word of God and staying pure. There's a blessing to it. And it should be applauded and it should be encouraged among the people of God. And so we want to stop and just acknowledge, we praise the Lord that she was moral and she was pure. As well, she was humble. She was humble. Look at verse number 48 of our text. It says, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid." He's regarded the lowest state of his handmaid. And now people are going to remember me for generations, not because of me, but because what God was doing in and through me. God has allowed the humble person, a lowly estated person, a simple mere servant, to be in the plan of Almighty God for the redemption of mankind. What a blessing. She acknowledged and praised God. Look at verse number 46. 40. Yeah, look at verse number 46. It says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior." She was one that would stop to give God praise. She was highly favored in verse number 28. It says, "The angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." I'm telling you, this was a very special young lady. A very special young lady. But not because of her. It was because of her obedience to the plan of God for her life and the work that God was going to do in her life. It wasn't that she was special of herself, but that she was special because she was obedient to God and that God wanted to work in her. What a testimony. I'm telling you, she has the kind of testimony that we should encourage our young ladies to have. I would say, yay, all young people could look at the testimony of Mary, and you would be very well off if you could say, man, this is my goal, this is my direction, this is what I'm going to try to aspire to, is that kind of testimony would not be a bad aim and a bad goal for you to shoot for. But in verse 45, it tells us what exactly made her great. What is it about Mary that just made her so great? And these are the words of her Aunt Elizabeth when she says this. "And blessed is she," look at this, "that," help me church, what's that word? Believed. She's blessed because she believed. I mean, this is what makes Mary spectacular. I mean, this is just what makes Mary have the testimony that she's going to have, is because she believed. "Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." There is a great blessing in the belief that she had. Well, what exactly was it that she believed? Well, look at verse number 38. The angel, verse number 35, 36, 37, the angel Gabriel gives her this message that she's going to conceive of the Holy Ghost and bear a child. And Mary said, "Behold, thine handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." That's what she believed. She simply heard the word that God had delivered unto her. She believed the word that God had delivered unto her. And she was blessed because she believed the word that God had delivered unto her. Don't miss this. While she had a good testimony, and she did, and while we would applaud her testimony, while I would look any teenager in the face and any single individual in the face and say, listen, strive for this testimony and you'll have the blessing of God on your life. You'll have the blessing of God in your home. You'll have the blessing of God in your future. If you'll strive for this kind of testimony, understand with me, while we would laud her as a role model, that was not what made her great. What made her great is, and what gave her a testimony, and what allowed her to be a good role model for us in the Word of God, was that she had a belief in the Word of God that was delivered unto her. That when she heard what the angel had to say, this is the message of God to you, that she received it, and she believed it, and she acted on it. There was nothing, and now get this, there was nothing unique about her that such a thing should happen. All right. There was nothing specifically unique about Mary that, other than she was chosen of the Lord, other than she had a good testimony and she believed the word of God. There was nothing like uniquely divine, if you will, about Mary. Mary wasn't at this stage in her life looking at the clock going, my goodness, it's about time that the angel should be coming and giving me a special message. It's about that time of, me and Joseph are going to get married. She didn't come understanding a divine plan. Right. No, she was finite like you and I are. Yes. She was not as her son Jesus was going to be. You remember when they visited the city of Jerusalem at the age of 12 and they lost Jesus? You know that story? They lost him and then they had to return back to Jerusalem searching after their son, wondering where he might be. And they found him in the temple reasoning with those men, the scholars and the teachers in the temple. And they marveled at his teaching and his understanding at such a young age. And when his parents, Joseph and Mary, his earthly parents, come to him and said, Why are you doing this? Why are you here? Why didn't you tell us what you were doing? Well, you shouldn't be doing this. He looks at him and says, well, I must be about my father's business. No understanding that there was a divine purpose and plan and there was something of divinity and that because he was God. I'm telling you, Mary is not on that level. Oh, she's a good moral young lady. She's a role model. Praise the Lord for that. And we can look and we can see and we can understand that God was going to do very special things in her life. And God was going to accomplish. Go ahead and follow me up here. God was going to accomplish some great things in her life. But understand with me, aside from that, she was normal just like you and I were normal. She wasn't tapping her watch and looking at the clock and watching the sundial go by and going, my word, when is all these things going to come to pass that I just know are going to come to pass? Because I am divine as God. That is not Mary. That's not the Mary of the Bible. No. She was, in fact, when the angel of the Lord appeared unto her, in look at verse number 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Whoa, what's going on? This wasn't something that was normal. Like, I mean, angels didn't come and flock around her every night and rub her forehead and as she went to sleep. That's the Mary that some people want us to believe, that she was some spectacular supernatural. No. When she saw an angel, she was troubled. This wasn't a normal occurrence for her, just like it wasn't for anyone normal human being. This was not a normal experience for her. And she, she cast in her mind what manner of salutations these should be. What's going on? Why is it that he's talking to me? Why is he calling me blessed of the Lord? Why is he speaking to me? I mean, Mary would even give us the testimony that she didn't know that there was something special about her. She was a lowly handmaid. She had a lowly estate. She didn't esteem herself as that which was so high and pious and noble. No. She esteemed herself as lowly. The angel in verse 30, knowing her fear, says unto her, look at what she says, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now, understand with me, I'm praying about, some of you are worried about and think it's funny about my fear of rodents, okay? And I'm praying about it, I'm seeking the Lord about it. I'm telling you, but if an angel from heaven appeared unto me and said, listen, fear not of rodents, it might help me, but I'm telling you, I would be weirded out of my mind. I'd have something greater to fear. The apparition in front of me, I would have something greater to fear. And so would you. You would as well. If the angel of God came and just, you're going about your daily routine, going about your business, and all of a sudden the angel appears unto you and says, blessed art thou, and gives you some special message. I'm telling you, every one of us probably would have had the response of Zacharias more than we would have Mary. But all of us would have probably been of great fear. And the angel, knowing that, says unto her, fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. This is a good thing. Sometimes we wonder, I'm like, okay, what have I done? Aunt Mary, there's nothing wrong here. This is a good thing. You found favor with God. I'm not here to pronounce judgment of God. Woo! Praise the Lord. You found favor with God, and that's why I am here. Oh man, talk about relaxing, and this is a good thing. And so she could show the favor. God was going to show the favor, His favor unto all men through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why He's come down. Look at verse number 31. It says, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus. Don't be fearful. This isn't a bad thing. This is a good thing, Mary. God's going to do something great, and this is what He's going to do. He's going to give you a son. You're going to conceive of the Holy Ghost, and His name is going to be called Jesus. Woo. And guess what? Listen, when we understand this, that the Messiah is coming, when we think about Mary's obedience, it's not just like Mary's obedience was a blessing to her, and man, this is a good thing for you, Mary. Understand the good thing that was a good thing to Mary is a good thing to all men.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. You and I are blessed today because of the good news and the favor that God had put upon on Mary here. Say, and so we see this message that is given unto her, and a message by her that is believed. You're going to bear a son. His name shall be called Jesus. It's a message that would have been, that Mary believed. But listen to me. It was also something that Mary stopped and said, how? How? You say, well, I saw the angel, I just would have believed 100%. No question about it in my mind. I just believed 100% the message of God. I think you're, not the lowly estate, if that's you today. Because Mary heard all these things, and she heard, man, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary, well, I don't know how that's going to take place, Mr. Angel, Gabriel. I don't know how this is going to happen because I'm a virgin. I haven't participated in acts that would constitute having a child. Come on, that's what she's saying. How shall this take place? There's no possible way for me to conceive and for me to bear a child. I'm engaged. I'm espoused unto Joseph, but we've remained morally pure of one another. We haven't been trying one another out. We haven't been getting the cart before the horse, however you want to look at it. We've done things right. We've done things in accordance to the way God would have us to do them. And how can this thing be? I've not known a man. I don't know how this is going to be possible. You see what she's declaring unto us is that she knew biology. Come on. She knew about the birds and the bees. It wasn't that she was just this completely naive virgin that had no understanding of what was going on. No. She knew how babies were born and that they didn't come out of your belly button. Come on. She understood all these things. She had an understanding of these things. And while she's hearing these things, and she's hearing the idea that you're going to conceive, you're going to have a child, you're going to bear the Savior of the world, and he's going to, of his kingdom there shall be no end. Oh, these are all wonderful. That sounds fantastic. How in the world is it going to take place? How's it going to happen? I was at a funeral service yesterday, and I don't know how many times the gospel was referenced. I should have kept a tally, but numerous times people talked about God. They talked about the Heavenly Father. They talked about the Son of God. They mentioned the gospel several times, but no one ever stopped and said, okay, yes, here's the gospel. Nobody ever stopped and they talked about the reference of the gospel and, man, how we've received the gospel. We have the gospel. We're thankful for the gospel. Nobody ever said, this is how you can get it. That's a pretty important part. I mean, there's one thing to know the phrase, oh, the gospel, we're saved by the gospel. We have the gospel that's given us salvation. It's one thing to know the word gospel. It's another thing to know what the gospel is and how to relate to someone else, how they can receive the gospel. So we can stop and talk all around all day long and sound religious about the gospel this and the gospel that. But if we never find from the Word of God how the gospel, you know, what the gospel is and how the gospel is received and what difference it makes for your life, then listen, friend, we're really not doing the work of the gospel ministry. Because the work of the gospel ministry is one that understands that, listen, Jesus Christ came. He was sacrificed upon a cross. He gave His life for you and I to pay your sin debt. You are a sinner. And Christ came and bled and died on a cross for you. But praise the Lord, He didn't just die for your sins. He also rose from the grave, which gives us the ability to have victory over our sins. If we'll receive Him, we can have life and life eternal. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mean, I'm telling you, that's a whole lot different than just saying, oh, we need to believe the gospel. The gospel is espoused by who? And the gospel is defined by who? There's a lot of different people that would define the gospel a lot of different ways. That church in particular that we were at to support some people who lost a family member, that church in particular, they have a list of 9 different things that they say this is how one would receive the gospel. And it's through baptism, and it's through good works, and it's through going to the temple, and it's through going through marriage, and all these different things. And I'm telling you what, the gospel is not 9 different things. The gospel is one thing. And the gospel is in Jesus Christ plus and minus nothing. It's not hard to understand. And when someone talks about the gospel, the very question someone should ask, a right question, when they hear about how Jesus Christ loves you, and He died for you, and He gave His life for you, and He rose again, and one might come to this question and say, well, how do I receive that sacrifice for my sins? That's a legitimate question. And friend, you ought to know how and where to show someone the Word of God, how they can receive that sacrifice for their sins. It's not hard. Amen. It's not hard. Say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With a heart man confesseth unto righteousness, or believeth unto righteousness. With a mouth confession is made unto salvation. Right. Amen. I'm telling you, it's important that you get to the how-to part. Not that we just sound religious in what we're saying, but that we get down to what the Word of God has to say. Not what a church espouses, not what a preacher espouses, not what some group of people think about salvation, but what God's Word says about salvation. That we get to the how. And so Mary, when she heard about this great thing that was going to happen, her question was, how? I know biology. I know how the birds and the bees work. How is this thing going to take place? And it says, and behold, look at verse number 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? No, verse 35. Everybody here, say, I see exactly the perfect A to B connection here. I mean, it makes complete total sense. Look at it again. The Holy Ghost. Well, you realize with me that that wasn't a common phrase in their vernacular. In fact, if you go to the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is only even referenced in one form or fashion. He's referenced 11 times. 11 times the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the entirety of the Old Testament. 11 times. The phrase Holy Ghost in reference to the Spirit of God is never used. In fact, the word ghost in the Old Testament is only used as someone giving up the ghost. Death. That's the only way the word ghost is used. And so when he comes here and says, Mary, listen, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and therefore you're going to have a child and call his name Jesus. It wasn't like Mary was like, whew, man, what an explanation. What an orator. Thank you so much for this valuable information. I mean, how could not one not understand what you've just said? I'm telling you, it didn't make a great sense I'm telling you, I can't stand here today and tell you, man, I can just explain every little minute detail about how Mary conceived as a virgin in her womb. Any more than I could stand here and tell you, man, how Jesus Christ came down and died on a cross and gave himself a sacrifice and ransom for many, brings me as an individual unto a place of salvation when I call upon the name of the Lord and receive him as my sacrifice. I can't explain to you every minute detail, and I'm telling you, this angel didn't give her an answer of every minute detail. But look at what Mary's response was in verse number 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Well, how could she get there? Well, I skipped a verse. Look at verse 37. How could she get there? That wasn't a great explanation. That really didn't dot all the I's and cross all the T's, right? That didn't get us completely from 48b, but Mary, understand this. While you might not be able to explain everything about this, and while this might not be something that really makes sense in your finite mind, you understand this. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Mary, throw biology that you know out the window. The story mom and dad told you about the birds and the bees, go ahead and throw out that window, because God's doing something different here. And while this is not possible for men, and while this is not understandable by men, listen, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And while Mary might not have looked at verse number 35 and looked at Gabriel and God, say no more, Gabriel. Thou hast given me sufficient information that I know exactly how all this hocus pocus is going to take place. She was able to understand verse number 38, that with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, I believe thy word. I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to accept the word of God that has been delivered unto me. I want to submit to you this morning that belief in God's word unlocks limitless potential in the life of a believer. Belief in God's word unlocks limitless potential in the life of a believer. So someone who reads the word of God, takes the word of God and receives the word of God and allows the word of God to be applied to their life, and they say, listen, I might not be able to explain it all. I might not have all the answers, but I do know this, that I can take God at his word. So if God's word says it, I'm going to believe it. I'm telling you, what you've just unlocked there is limitless potential, not just in Mary's life, but in your very life, you've unlocked limitless potential when you've determined that I'm going to accept God's word at face value. I'm going to believe that with God, nothing shall be impossible. And I'm going to act as with God, nothing shall be impossible. I've unlocked limitless potential, not because I'm something special and not because I'm something great, but because the God of heaven desires to do great things in my life and desires to accomplish great things in me, and because the God of heaven is at work in this finite individual that simply chooses to believe the word of God and to believe that with God nothing shall be impossible, I'm telling you, the opportunities are limitless. And there's things, listen to me, there are things that we could stop and say, my goodness, I never even imagined God would allow me to be able to do something. I never even imagined God would allow me to be able to accomplish some great thing for him. But I did believe the word of God when he said, listen, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I believed the words of Christ. I came unto Jesus. I called unto him for salvation. And now I am saved. Amen. Now I have limitless potential. I'm telling you, I don't know too many pastors, good pastors, that sat in the pew when they were little boys and just said, you know what? One day I'm going to stand in front of a congregation of people and I'm going to preach, thus saith the Lord. I'm not saying there's not, but I don't think there are too many great pastors out there that thought when they were just teenagers, man, I'm going to turn the world upside down. I'm telling you, there's been some great men of God that just have humbled themselves before the Lord that God's been able to use. I don't think you could stop. I'm telling you, you can stop and read testimonies of saints throughout history, and you can listen to testimonies of saints, and they'll just stop and testify. You know what changed my life? It was that I put my belief in Christ. I believe the Word of God. I accepted the Word of God. I love here, I'm telling you, I love hearing testimonies of people that say, you know, I was saved in Sunday school and Miss So-and-so, she just taught us week after week after week, and she just delivered her the Word of God. And none of us might never know Mrs. So-and-so. And we might never know Mr. So-and-so who taught the lesson and who led that preacher to the Lord. But understand, there's been a great number of messages and preaching and teaching and souls saved because someone was faithful to follow the Lord. Amen. Yeah. There have been families that have been changed because someone at some point in time stopped and said, you know what, I believe the Word of God. I'm putting my faith and trust in the Word of God, and I'm going to allow God to have control and God to take possession of this home and God to take possession of my life and God to have the rule and the reign in this home and God to have the rule and reign in my life. And I'm just going to believe God. I'm telling you, you're unlocking limitless potential. I'm not standing here this morning saying, hey, you know what? Name it and claim it, whatever you want. It's limitless. You can have anything your heart's desires. Just think of it and just come up with it. But listen, at the same time, we cannot stop and dismiss Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 20 when Paul says this, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I don't think Paul was speaking facetiously. I don't think Paul was speaking as something he did not know. But he knew that there was a Holy Spirit of God that now resided in him and that lived in him. And that while he was not able and while he was not capable, and now there were things that were impossible for him to do by the Spirit of God that resided within him, that there was things that he couldn't even imagine that God could do with him. Because with God, nothing shall be impossible. And it doesn't matter what trial you face. It doesn't matter what circumstances you face. It doesn't matter what the next step is. I mean, people get to a point in life, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the right decision to make. And we get the will of God all where the will of God is some this big thing that nobody can know and nobody can understand. Instead of just, well, getting in the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to get into you and being obedient to it. And I'm telling you, what you're going to find is if you'll just stop and just relax a little bit about over the next step and what the will of God is, and man, I just don't want to mess up all of eternity. No, no, no. Walk with the Lord. Get in His Word. Read His Word. Allow it to be your guide. Don't just make decisions because, well, we got to make a decision today. You really don't. Come on, this world gets all excited. Man, we got to do it now. We got to do it now. Then say no. If you haven't been led, if you haven't been guided, and you say, well, we're going to miss out on this, we're going to miss out on that. But wait a second, we're not trying to get the things that the world has. We're trying to be in tune with God that has limitless potential for the believer that takes him at his word. And so a believer ought to practice patience. Whew. Man, I mean, James, man's a rough book. But let patience have her perfect work in you, that you can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You say, but we're going to miss out. No, no, you're not going to miss out. But we're not going to have this and that. We're not going to have our 401k. We're not going to have the house we want. We're not in the car we want. And we're not going to have the kids we want. We're not going to have the marriage we want. We're going to have this that we want. And we have all the things that we want. Instead of just stopping and going, okay, what's the Word of God say? How would the Word of God direct me? How's the Spirit of God leading in accordance to His Word? And we make life very, very difficult. Mary's life, listen to me, it could have been very, very difficult had she not taken God at His Word and believed God. And the things that God was asking her to do, listen, they weren't easy. It was going to be something that she might have been looked down upon. She might have been despised. People, listen, not all people were going to just say, well, you realize the Holy Ghost overshadowed me and it's something that God did. Not everybody was looking at that explanation and going, oh, yeah, sure. Not everybody was hearing, well, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Not everybody was going to receive the Word of God. But I'm telling you, that you and I, as the children of God, if we'll be recipients of the Word of God and we'll be obedient to the Word that we've received and we'll walk in accordance to the Word of God for our lives, we're unlocking a limitless potential of God in our lives. And there are things that I'm telling you, you never dreamed that God might be able to use you to do, that God can do, simply because you believe His Word. There are blessings, and there are activities, and I'm telling a teenager, listen up, that are beyond your ability to even imagine today. If you'd simply take the Word of God in belief and act upon it and allow it to be your guide, and you'll be patient and wait and say, well, man, we want to get ahead. We want to push ahead. We want to do what we want to do. No. You need to wait on the Lord. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. You can wait and you can trust the Word of God. And if we aren't going to wait on the Word of God, if we aren't going to believe the Word of God, listen to me, we're going to be left up to our own devices. My friend, listen, we are as well robbing ourselves of the blessing of God. Remember Elizabeth in verse number 45. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. You and I, when we act in our own will, we act in our own way, when we think we're smarter than the Bible, we think we got it figured out farther than God does, listen to me, there will be a lack of the blessing of God in our life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed today.